name of our Lord and Savior. In this powerful message, discover how hearing and hearing the Word of God preached does not impact faith, but unlocks God's flow of supply and miracles into every area of your life. Be encouraged to keep hearing the preached Word and begin to see God impact His wisdom to you, supply your needs, and work miracles in
your life. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, and we are going to read from verse 21 of Ephesians. Chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 21. Let us rise, please, as the word of God is read to us. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning from verse 21. I think we can read together from the screen, so we will be reading the same version. So let's go now. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. Let us pray. We thank you, Eternal Father, for your word, holy word, sacred word. Thank you for this worship experience. You have begun already with us in a special way. Your spirit is here, and we can testify to that. You have laid it in my heart, Lord, this morning to speak about marriage and family according to Scripture. And I pray that what you intend to do, what you have planned to do in our lives through your word this morning, you will accomplish in the name of Jesus. I pray that nobody will position himself above your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Rather, we all will be willing to allow the word to stand before us like a mirror, and for us to examine ourselves and see exactly how we are. We are praying for transformation. We are praying for change. We are praying that through the entrance of your word, marriages will be healed. Amen. Homes will be healed. Amen. Families will receive joy. Amen. Let your name be glorified in our midst. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. This morning, like I said, I'm going to be speaking on the topic marriage and family according to the Bible. And by the grace of God, even though I'm going to try to be as brief as possible, I'm trusting the Lord to speak to us expressly through the teaching of the Word of God. Now, a major assumption to this study is that marriage is discussed in a Christian context, where the principal actors involved. The husband and the wife are Christians. This is an assumption. And I think it's a good assumption in the church. We have the assumption that we are followers of Christ and that the principal actors in marriage, husbands and wives, are born again before going into marriage. But because even the scripture recognizes that we are not perfect, that's why we have instructions from the scripture to guide us in how we ought to live as married people. It is therefore our intention to consider God's plan for husband and wives in marriage. In the modern society, marriages do not work because the partners involved are not carrying out responsibilities the way God wants, including Christians. We seem to have forgotten that the scripture gives us instructions on how we ought to run our homes. That is why we are going back to what the scripture says about Christian marriage. So what's God's plan for the husband? Almost every husband looks like this on the day of wedding. And the picture is hanging there in your sitting room. But when your wife looks at that picture today, I wonder the question that goes on in her heart. Whether she's saying, look at him there. I wonder if you have not become a different person from the person she saw on the day of wedding. But what is God's plan for the husband? According to scripture, husbands are expected to follow the shepherd leadership pattern of Jesus in the leadership of their homes. The shepherd pattern. Christ gave us a leadership pattern. So there is a pattern to follow. We are not left without an example. The leadership pattern of Christ is the pattern that is set for husbands in leading their homes as heads. Now, number one, the husband must love his wife unselfishly as Christ loves the church. And we know that part of what we have seen in Christ is self-sacrifice and self-denial. So God expects every husband to show love is actually in demonstration. It's not just in words. It should be in deeds. And Christ showed us example of love through self-sacrifice and self-denial. So every husband should be a loving husband who is willing to show his wife in concrete actions, in genuine actions, true love. Of course, I put in some of these pictures to tell us what a husband ought to be to his wife. And the scripture says, love your wives just as Christ loves you. The second point, okay, would you want to operate it from your place? The husband should gently lead his wife and children, just as Jesus, the good shepherd, gently leads his people. The husband is not to be a dictatorial person in leading his family. Leadership of a husband at home should not be the same with leadership of a boss at work. If you are a boss at work, you need to set the boundary between being a boss at work and being a leader at home. You shouldn't be a husband like this man who raises his hand against his wife. And I hope we are paying attention to this. Or a husband like this who will strangle his wife. she must obey, because the Bible says, I am the head. And the way to obey is to enforce it. That is very, very wrong. Or a husband like this one, or a husband who has black words, dangerous words, that when the wife sits back and she processes those words, it can cause her to break down. There is a pattern of leadership that Christ requires of husbands. It shouldn't be a husband who doesn't care about any person at home. It should be a husband who is willing to sacrifice himself. Number three, the husband should provide for the family. This includes providing for their social, emotional, and spiritual needs, as well as their physical needs. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, if a man refuses to do what? Provide for his own family. He says he has denied the faith. Is that person is worse than what? An infidel. Some people think provision means that whatever you need that money can buy, I'm ready to supply it. But that's not all. This includes what? Their social, emotional, and spiritual. If you are to provide for your family, especially for your wife, do you provide for her social? Do you provide for her emotional? Do you even care the way she is thinking? Are you there to provide the support that she needs? You think there is food at home. All a woman needs is to have food at home. So let there be food. And when you come back, you say, where is my food? And you think that all a woman needs is money. I have given her enough money. If you are going to provide emotional and spiritual, then you must be present. And I show you the picture of a husband who provides. The picture of a husband who provides. Number four, the husband should protect the family. Every father should follow the example of Job and pray for his wife and for each of his children every day. You remember the story of Job. Every day, Job would spend time praying for his wife and praying for his children. This is very important. One of the greatest means of protection for your family is your spiritual indebtedness as a man. Your spiritual stability, your connection with God, your ability to go to the presence of God on behalf of your family. That's the greatest means of protection for your family. And this picture, I don't know if you understand it, is a picture of a husband who protects. Something is falling off and is there to shield his family. Number five, the husband should honor his wife. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 tells us husbands should honor their wives. You remember in the book of Genesis when God told Abraham to listen to his wife, Sarah. Husbands are supposed to honor their wives. And her, I have a picture of a husband who honors his wife. In whatever way honor is possible, husbands are expected to honor their wives. Number six, the husband should edify his wife and encourage her in Christ. In some families, the reverse is the case, but that is not ideal. Many families exist where the husband does not even know where to find Genesis in the Bible. And when you ask him, you say, my wife is the real spiritual person. My wife is the one who is our prayer warrior. Shame on you. Because you have transferred your role to your wife. If your wife is very spiritual, thank God for that. But that shouldn't be an excuse for you now to, you know, transfer your spiritual responsibility to your wife. As a husband, you should be the priest of your family. A priest that guides through scripture. This is very important for every husband. A husband who edifies his wife. Number seven, the husband should show understanding for his wife. This is very important, showing understanding for the wife. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 suggests to us that women are weaker vessels. So you should treat your wife with that understanding. That even in creation, God has specification for man different from that of a woman. Some husbands like to compare other women with their wives. This will not be good. Your wife is unique. When you think other women are better than her in some areas, you need to also consider the areas that she's better than other women. An understanding husband. This may not be a perfect representation. Number eight, the husband must take the responsibility to train, correct, discipline, and spiritually disciple his children. It's a responsibility of the husband. No matter how busy you are, you must create time with the children. You must pay attention to the things that your children are doing. And you must provide physical and spiritual guidance. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God held Adam responsible. God didn't hold the wife responsible. Even though Adam was trying to pass back, say, it's the woman you give me. But God did not exonerate him from what he has done. In the same way, at the judgment, God will hold the husbands responsible, not the wives, for the spiritual condition of the house, of the home. This holds great implications for husbands. A husband who trains and disciplines. I've always insisted, this is scripture. There's a reason you are a man. There is that father figure that even children respect. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. You must be able to speak like the father. When you correct or when you want to discipline your children, they should know that the father is speaking at this point. I'm not saying that, even when the Bible says women are weaker vessels, it may suggest that. I have seen from experience that the voice of the father, even the way it sounds, can cause a child to shiver. That's the truth. Sometimes I've heard my wife saying, "What are you doing there? What are you doing there?" And the child is still doing the thing. But if I say, who is the person? You just see that there is a sudden disappearance. The voice even tells you that I don't have to say it twice. You leave the place. So a father should be able to say, "I'm giving you last warning," like this father. And of course, women should join. Yes, this is very important because some women have turned their husbands to tyrants. They will never say anything concerning the bad things their children are saying. And when the husband comes out to say it, they turn around to also draw the children and say, "Leave him, he will soon go out." Be careful. Be careful. A child must have somebody that he fears. I'm not even saying respect, that he fears. A child must have somebody that he fears. I don't like to hear children crying. So I don't beat children all the time. But I can beat a child once, and the child will always remember. That's just it. By that beating, the child will fear me. It's important that a child should have somebody he fears. I'm not saying I'm no longer friendly to that child, but when I say, hey, 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 he will remember and then behave. Even if it is your child, if your child comes to my house and I notice that he doesn't fear anybody, I will make him fear me. That's the truth. Unless he won't come to my house again. I will make him understand that if I say, it's enough, the child will go and sit down that truly is enough. That's very important. As a father, you must discipline, and women should cooperate with that. What's God's plan for the wife? You know, this is the way women also look on wedding day. Everything perfect. The man will even hardly wait for the sermon to be over. It's like saying, let me carry this woman away. But again, I ask, as he walks in your sitting room and he looks at this picture now, he will ask himself questions, and you don't know what questions are going on in his heart. If you have been able to maintain your beauty in and out, possibly he will be praising God. If you are something else now, I don't think he will even be smiling at such pictures. All right, for a wife, just as God has planned for the husband, even so for the wife. The wife is to follow the example of the church in her love and submission to Christ. Number one, in the sight of God, men and women are equals. Galatians 3:28 suggests that. He says, in Christ, no man, no woman, no slave, no free man, all are what? Equal. And we must submit to one another in the church out of reverence for Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. But the order at home is different. In God's order, the husband is the head of the family, just as Christ is the head of the church. This therefore makes submission a pattern for the wife. The wife should submit to her husband as she will submit to Christ. But this does not make the husband a dictator or a tyrant. I need to emphasize this, that the Bible says your wife should submit. That should not make you a dictator or a tyrant. A submissive wife, your husband's inability to lead may be a result of your inability to submit. Say, my husband is not a good example of a leader. It may be with you. The problem may be that your inability to submit is giving him zero score in his leadership. If you want to test whether he can lead very well, learn to submit. And you may definitely see some changes. Wives, submit to your husbands. That's scripture. Don't be like this woman who will say, let him finish whatever he's saying. When he's done, he will go. And don't be a nagging wife. That each time the husband is with you, he's quickly thinking of an opportunity to escape. Who needs a weapon in the house when you have a wife who can nag the burglar to death? Be careful of nagging. It does not help anything. Number two, the wife should encourage and help her husband. One of the most important ways she can encourage him is to pray for him. To pray for him. Pray for your husband. And once in a while, talk to him. Let him know you are praying for him. And let him also know what is going on in your heart. A wife who encourages. Number three, the wife will bear the children. This is very important. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It's an enormous responsibility. And what does that entail? You can see this picture. If you remember what your wife goes through to carry the child for 9 months, not only that, to cater for that child until the child can walk. Childbearing is just beyond delivery. It goes to other things. Number four, the wife should maintain a sweet spirit in the home. The home, I would want to say, belongs to the wife. Not to say that the husband is not important, But it's the woman that makes or mar the home. That's the truth. If she creates a very sweet spirit in that home, the home will be sweet. If she doesn't want it, the home will not be. It's about the wife. Okay, a sweet family there. You are seeing a picture. Number five, the wife should take good care of her household. And I want you to note the word household. It does not say her children alone. Household. There are some temporary household people you have, and there are some permanent household people. Whichever one, as a woman, you must be able to accommodate a household, not just your family. Many times they are temporary. They will soon go. But don't allow them to go with a very wrong impression of you. It's very important to treat them well, because they will leave, and they will leave with an impression. And the impression is mostly about the wife. It's not going to be about the man. The impression is mostly about the wife, especially in-laws. Is that correct? When your in-laws come, the way you treat them matters a lot. And when you remember that it's just for a while, they have not packed their baggages to come and live with you forever. Tolerate and endure, but treat them well. I'm not sure. I've not jumped. Okay, the wife should take good care of the household. I say a manager wife, a wife who can manage the household very well. The wife should maintain a good reputation. And this includes reaching out to help the needy. So, even outside of the home, in the neighborhood, if people will speak very well about your family, it has a lot to do with the wife. A good reputation, reaching out to help the needy. A wife of good reputation. Older wives should spiritually disciple younger women, including their own daughters, to love and respect their husbands. Woman to woman mentorship. Okay, what is God's plan for husband and wife as parents? God is the example for all parents to follow in raising their children. The first idea of God in a small child's mind is often the image of his or her parents, especially the father. That's the first idea of God that your child has. So if you are a very brutal person, you are already creating an idea of a wicked God. But God is not wicked. Is God wicked? No. So, parents should follow the example of Christ in raising their children. Number one, parents must imitate Christ and set an example of godly living before their children. Children will tend to follow the example of their parents rather than their advice. It's one thing for you to advise your children. It's another for you to actually live out the things you are advising them to do. Okay? Being a role model. You can see all this child wants to do is, I want to be like my father. Anytime you see your child wearing your shoe, your child is saying, I want to be like my father. And that's what you see this child doing. Many times, they are not interested in their own shoes. They are interested in your own. I want to be like my father. Number two, parents must love their children just as God loves the parents. Okay, a loving parent here. Number three, parents must teach their children about God and his ways. God requires parents to teach their children about his laws and his ways. In the modern society, many parents are failing in this. You think it is the responsibility of the church to help you teach your children the ways of God. It should begin from home. In fact, if it doesn't begin from home, when your children come to church, they will not listen to those who are teaching them about God. Such will be children that the children's teachers will be struggling with. They will tell the child, sit down here, he will not sit down. Listen, he will not listen. And they are even afraid to beat your child. They are afraid to to point at his nose and say, you, this child. Because they don't know what your reaction will be to that. So it must begin at home. It must begin from the home. Okay, you see a picture of parents who teach their children. Number four, parents must discipline their children in love, just as God disciplines us in love. And I say again, this is more of the father's responsibility. Parents must provide for their children just as God provides for his people. Parents are supposed to be providers, not only of food, but everything necessary for life. Parents must protect their children physically, mentally, and spiritually, just as God protects us. Number seven, parents must guide their children as they grow up, just as God guides us. Children need guidance. You can't leave them. You can't allow them total freedom. If you do, they are going to emerge with a character that will be totally strange to you. So they need to be guided. You need to set limits to certain things. You need to control certain things. You don't just say, oh, no problem. This is a modern world. Your children will bring up a character that will shock you. So you need to guide them. I think that's about what I have as the last slide. I just want to say to you that in John chapter 8, there was a story of a woman who was caught in adultery. And the people, the crowd, brought her to Jesus. And they said to him, according to the law of Moses, if this happens, this person is supposed to be stoned to death. Tell us now, what do you feel? And Jesus said to them, all right, that's okay. But I want to know the first person who will cast the first stone. And the qualification of that first person is the person that has no sin. Let him cast the first stone. Many times when we speak about marriages, people think that maybe the attack is coming on me, on my marriage. I like to say to you, I don't want to give you a picture that I stand here as a perfect man or as a perfect husband. So I may not even be qualified to cast a stone at you. But if all of us will allow scripture to x-ray our families in all sincerity, I believe we can become better husbands, better wives. We can become better parents. And, well, I may want to justify who I am. I may want to tell you that I'm trying my best as a husband. Maybe that would be a little different from the way if you go and ask my wife. Maybe that would be a little different. But the most importantly is, how does God view me when it comes to fulfilling my role as a husband? How does God view you when it comes to fulfilling your role as a wife? I think we should rather wisely seek help. Ask God for grace to do better. And I'm calling you this morning to do that, to ask God for grace to become a better husband, to ask God for grace to become a better wife, to ask God for grace to become better parents. And I tell you, that grace is available even now. God wants to help you.
This message was brought to you from the ministry of Victory Baptist Church, Aja, 527 Lewis Street, by Sweetwaters, Aja Lagos, telephone 0807-460-4212. or 0807-460-4250. Email info@vbcajah.org. You can also visit our website on www.vbcajah.org. Victory Baptist Church. We are the light on the peninsula.